This is a Collider.com audio interview.
The table. Bring the creatures.
You were very funny out there.
Thank you. Thank you. What are you going to do in front of it? A crowd. I didn't have 3D. I had to have a couple of jokes.
The puzzle is so successful. Do you feel like pressure?
There's always pressure. Anytime you create a new artistic anything, there's pressure, because one of my rules when I did the series, and I maintained it on this movie, was never to repeat. I try not to repeat a story. I try not to repeat an emotion. I want it all to be sort of new for the viewers and to challenge myself as a writer. So there's always pressure. What else can you come up with? But these characters are so vibrant to me and to people around the world who still follow their lives. It's easy to get lost in like what they would do. So the pressure comes off on me and more into the work.
So how came the idea to go to Abu Dhabi, and how was it to shoot over there?
Okay. That's a big story. How much time have you got? Here's what happened. When I finished the first movie, I had no idea for a second movie. And then I saw the parties around the world when the movies were being shown. Everybody was showing up dressed up, and the movie was a big success, and the opportunity came. And the first thing I thought was, well, I want this to be a party. And also because when I was writing the script, we were in an economic downturn, still, and still are around the world. Financially, it's not the same world as when we did the first movie. So I thought, okay, it's a depression. In the Great Depression, what did people do? What do people need? And I thought, extravagance. Let's put them on a big vacation. And then I thought, what's happening right now? And the theme of the movie for me really is tradition. And even how women today in New York City are still struggling with traditional roles. No matter how evolved they are, they still have to struggle with wife, mother, single, still. So I thought, tradition, tradition. And then I thought about, where is there a lot of money with no shame attached? And then I thought about the Middle East, and because of Dubai and Abu Dhabi and their extravagance and their whole PR machine, which is, it's the new Middle East and the future, I thought, great. And the idea of Samantha Jones, sexually liberated beyond anyone's expectation, going to the Middle East, it started to make me amused. And so then I started building the other story around that. So originally, we were going to film in Dubai and then Abu Dhabi. But after I wrote the script and had been over there many times, it was like we went on a date with the Middle East. And then they decided we shouldn't go on another date. The idea of sex and these liberated women being filmed there was a little too progressive for their where they are right now. So we had to discover Abu Dhabi, which is where the movie takes place, in Marrakesh and Africa, Rabat and Essaouira. And there were some amazing benefits to that, in that we were not monitored. There wasn't a big watchful eye on the girls in terms of editing or censoring. And the other thing was, we got to film on like dunes where they filmed Lawrence of Arabia. So I really wanted it to be this Scheherazade Middle East adventure, and I got it.
But then, why did you keep the you wanted to keep the concept, although you were refused to do there, the concept of Abu Dhabi?
Yes, because the Middle East, the tradition, women in the Middle East, women in America, liberated women, women where where tradition is stronger. I think there's a very big story in the Middle East, and it also is a very advanced, glamorous capital. And it has a lot to do with money, and it's still kind of an exotic. You know what I mean? It's far away, and no one's been there, and why not go? And it's, you know, Arabian Nights.
What were the challenges now that the women are getting older?
Well, the challenges aren't as much as you think, because one of the great gifts of Sex and the City is it's been able to evolve. So when the girls were 34, they were 34, and now that Samantha's 52, Samantha's 52. So there's an enormous power in not trying to hide anything. And there's a great story there for women who are in that part of their life to reflect. And then I have characters who are 10 years younger, you know, 42, 43. So for me, it's just about keeping it real and current. And what's great about the series, in a very bizarre, almost like a magic trick, girls are still watching the DVDs who are 20, but think that Samantha's their friend. You know, so there's this whole evolution. And so for me, it's the girls are gorgeous. They look beautiful. They're at the top of their game. And my only issue was to not pretend and to write some comic version or some realistic, relatable version of where they are right now.
How do you see Carrie? How has she been changed?
Well, you know, Carrie got everything she ever thought she'd want, which presents an interesting dilemma for anyone. And, you know, very few movies actually show what happens after Happily Ever After. And the first movie ended with Happily Ever After. Ta-da! So the next movie has to be, what is Carrie Bradshaw like as a wife? What's that about? The title, Wife, for the eternal single girl, the rebel, the individual. How do you conform or not conform? You know, her life continues. She's very successful. She's an individual, creative individual. She writes books. She makes her own rules. And now she's dealing with a whole new series of rules.
And bringing her ex back into the picture, what was the
idea? It's about, because one of the, Aiden, one of the interesting other theme in the movie is evolution, really. Who they were, who they are afraid to be, or who they might be in the future. So when I started looking at who they were, of course the past comes into play, and because I like a good story, I whipped up a reason to bring in a little tension and drama and excitement and potentially mistake with the other man in her life. Because seriously, whenever anybody tells me they like Carrie and they like Sex and the City, I always ask them, women, I say, one question, Big or Aiden? And there's usually a split. There's never anybody else. It's always Mr. Big or Aiden. And they represent two very different male characters. And they represent two different things to her. So if I'm looking back at the past, I thought, I'm in a magical place. Why not make something happen? And also, we even look at the 80s. Because I'm always trying to look at something I've never done before. And you get to see what the girls look like in the 80s. There's a moment of really going back for a minute and seeing how they met. So it's really about evolution. And luckily, the audience is evolving with these characters. So if you look at the movie and you're their friends, because people think they're their friends, there'll be something for you to relate to. Plus then, for me as a writer-director, I just want to do a big, big, almost old-fashioned Hollywood movie. With like real sets, not green screen and not CGI, and they're really on camels, and we're really fighting the sun, and the sun goes down and you're screwed. There's no tricks here. It's really like old school movie making with a current sort of edge, I hope.
Michael, how much did you allow the girls to bring in their own ideas to the story? And do you have any examples?
No.
No.
We have a great respect for each other. And they always are really curious to see where I'm going first with these characters. And I always almost preview their lives before them, before I write it. I say, this is where I think this is. And they're always very trusting and understanding that I know the characters, the four of them. They know their characters, and I'm aware of the balance of the four. So they're always giving me the benefit of doubt, based on what the movie needs and based on what each of their roles are in this big movie. So it's really a blissful experience for me to work with them. I mean, we've been working together. People say to me, how long do you rehearse a scene? I say, 12 years. You know, it's very little dialogue. It's like, here's the script, and then I watch them be Carrie, Miranda, Samantha, and Charlotte.
How do you know so much about women? Do you get inspiration from someone else, from other women?
Well, here's the great thing about women. Writing for women, about women, women tell you things. They're very available. You can feel them and see them, and they're very verbal. And so if you're in the world and you're looking around for what's happening, what are people experiencing, all you have to do is look and listen. And then, like any writer, I'm not a doctor, but I don't have to be a doctor to write an emergency room scene. So, but I really enjoy women, and I totally understand and applaud the diversity that they have in terms of their emotions and intellects and vulnerability and strengths.
And because of the economic downturn, are we going to see less Manolos, less over-the-top fashion?
Well, you know, as I always said, nobody wants to see Carrie Bradshaw selling apples under a bridge. That would be just depressing. My job is to take the audience on a fun thing and have them feel good. There is always going to be style. There is a lot more vintage in this movie. There's actually reworked clothing. But it is filled with everything people want. It's not like, oh, I'm depressed, they're wearing brown. No. There's no reason to do Sex and the City if it's not going to be everything Sex and the City is, which is vibrant emotions, comedy, drama, and also style.
Quickly, after the set, what was it? I'm sorry.
After this movie, is there more room to know more about their lives? Is there a
These girls always are going to be interesting. There is no plan. Just when I did the first movie, I was like, that's all I know. And with me, when I'm actually finishing Sex, I like to think about the sex I'm finishing. I don't think about if there's more sex coming. So, but these characters will always be vibrant, and these actresses will always be viable. It's not like they'll live on in people's minds whether we film them again or not.
On the set, what was the biggest challenge?
Camels. The dunes. Kim, Sarah Jessica, Kristen, and Cynthia on camels for days with hair and makeup people far away because I didn't want footprints. And I'd be yelling, great! And they'd be going, again? And I go, yes, the camel wasn't good. You know, they're always good. The camel's a problem. No, it was a big journey, and it's a big movie, and that's exciting.
Liza Minnelli was new, too.
Oh, yeah, and Penelope Cruz, and Miley Cyrus.
I was going to say,
it's thrilling.
I'm from Spain. How is working with Penelope? And can you address a little bit about her role?
A dream come true. First of all, I'm very honored to say she's a very big fan of the first movie in the series. She said to me, I watched that movie 15 times. I put it on when I want to feel happy. I put it on when I want to feel sad. So when I had a moment where I had a window where I could bring in one more amazing woman. I called her up and she agreed to do it. But it's a very beautiful little moment. And she's not playing herself. Liza and Miley are, for reasons you'll see when you see the movie.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Bye.